It is 22 past the hour, being a Tuesday morning. We are, our studio is graced, virtually speaking, by Dr. Don Clark, who joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist, member of the Board of Creation Moments, joins us pretty near every Tuesday morning here. And we talk about matters of faith and science and creation and evolution. And Don, how you doing?
Oh, doing well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, it's starting to get extremely hot here in Texas, as you are probably experiencing too.
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm prone to kind of slump down.
You guys are toasty down there. Huh? You got plenty. You got warm. Got plenty of warm. You need me to send you some long johns or something?
Yeah.
Extra parka.
We got plenty warm. That's not the problem. What I need is cool. I need cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be 75 today. Going to be nice.
It sounds downright, temperate there.
Yeah, well, yes, I could use that that cool weather. I've been having problems with my winery's glycol chiller.
Oh, that's right. You're very precision temperature control there, don't you, for your products?
Yeah, so I've got my chiller that's been cutting out on me and trying to solve the problem, but the main problem is the heat, and it gets overheated and it shuts down.
Well, fortunately, your vineyard is on a Sabbath break, a 7-year break. We talked about that last week when you were on, that there will be no harvest this year, but I guess there's still maintenance work, huh?
Oh, there's maintenance work to do in the winery, in the vineyard, but I still have some wine in a 1,000-gallon tank from last year. So I got to keep it cool.
Yeah, when I think of wine growing areas, I seldom think of a place where it gets around 100 degrees, 102, 105, which it does down there in Garden Valley. How do the grapes handle the heat?
Well, they shut down after about 95 degrees. They stop growing and things just kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pick back up when the temperature drops, so
it doesn't do damage.
They can handle the heat heat fine. It's a matter of keeping enough water on them, because obviously the hotter it gets, the more the water evaporates, and there's a lot of transpiration in the with all those grape leaves.
Yeah, keep moist.
You answered a question I've always been curious about. I've been told that grapes love heat, that it concentrates the sugars. But there is a limit to it. I mean, you can't, the grapes will only like heat so much, and then they'll start to raisin.
Well, that's true. You don't want to, I mean, they will, like I said, they will start shutting down around 95 degrees or so, but it's not 100 degrees the whole day, so. Even when it reaches 100 degrees here, a good part of the morning, it's under that. So,
besides, raisins are good for you. I mean, if you got to box them up instead of bottle them up, that's okay, too. That works for me.
These raisins would have plenty of seeds, so I don't know if you'd like to box those up.
Maybe not. Well, speaking of handling the heat, science could be feeling the heat. A little bit, at least something called settled science could be feeling the heat. Don's discovered an article here we're going to kind of discuss. Let me read the opening paragraph, Don, and then I'll ask you a pertinent question. The left seems obsessed with touting settled science. From the theory of evolution to global warming or its newer replacement, climate change, liberals frequently pound textbooks with fanatical enthusiasm, smugly dismissing anyone who dares question pre-approved narratives. Is there such, let me put it this way, is settled science scientific?
Well, of course, you know, science pure science is the quest for truth and how things are put together and how we can describe the world and the universe that we live in. And so we only have a certain limited knowledge, and with, let's say, instruments of today, you can only probe so far, and instruments of tomorrow may probe even deeper, so your assumptions and your conclusions today actually may not turn out to be correct in the future.
Have we not? Science has been around for, what, 300 years? Think what we would call the scientific method and the ordered study of the universe. Haven't we learned that lesson yet, that science is in constant constant change, constant, I hate to use the word evolution, but knowledge evolves, doesn't it?
Well, we keep acquiring knowledge, of course, mm-hmm. and then sometimes we have to adjust our thinking and assumptions. I don't want to say theory, because we're getting ready to talk about evolution. Now, you see, evolution is a different type of science than your observational science, for example. Evolution is what's called historical science. And so you're trying to look back and say, this is what happened with the evidence that you have today. And of course, you know, Adam and Eve were there at the beginning, so they know. So we could ask them, and in fact, they tell us in the book of Genesis how things came about. But, of course, evolutionists have pretty much thought that, okay, we got this figured out, and there's not going to be any more change. Evolution is a fact, and so therefore those creationists and those people who don't believe in evolution, is just evolution, just get your act together. You're part of an ignorant group of society, and the rest of the world is moving on.
In other words, they're calling it settled science.
It's settled historical science. From those that think that they really understand how things come together. Well, this study that we're talking about today, actually, a fellow by the name of Mark Stokel from the Rockefeller University in New York, and David Thaler at the University of Basel in Switzerland have published a paper together that kind of rocks the boat. I mean, not kind of rocks the boat, it turns the boat over with regard to evolution. And here's what they did. Of course, they did some DNA analysis, and we've heard before that old DNA analysis shows that, you know, the monkey is 98% compatible with the human, which turns out not to be the case, of course. But this DNA analysis was looking at the variation within a given species. So you take a certain type of bird, for example, and you look at how much variation there is in the DNA, and then you look at humans and you look at how much variation there is, and evolution would say that those animals creatures that have been around longer should have much more variation in their populations and in their DNA than those that have come on the scene, like humans, later in the evolutionary time frame. Well, after looking at 100,000 different species and doing this DNA analysis on these species, they came to the conclusion, reluctantly, I might add, they even say that in their own words, they couldn't believe the results, that at least 90% of the species that they looked at all had the same degree of variation. So that means that all of these species, you know, had to appear at the same time. That's one conclusion, and the other conclusion is that, gee, it looks like they came on the scene at the same time, but not that long ago. In other words, not the millions and millions of years ago. I mean, they're suggesting 100 to 200,000 years ago, which in the evolutionary time frame is short. In the creation time frame, of course, is long. But, you know, we're talking about secular scientists and not creation scientists that would have actually, creation scientists have done something similar, looking at the variation in mutation and that type of thing, and shows that the rate of mutation, for example, leads us to a much shorter time span on the order of 6 to 10,000 years, which corroborates what the Bible says. But be that as it may, here you have two evolutionists who had to basically bite their tongues and say, you know what? It looks like all these animals are coming into existence at the same time. This is a very, here's the statement, actually, of David Thaler. He says, the conclusion is very surprising, and I fought against it as hard as I could.
Fought against it.
So he's admitting that he didn't want to believe the results, but the results were, you know, what they were. And then finally, he succumbed to the results and said, I guess, you know, I guess this is accurate. This is exactly what the results are saying, that genetically speaking, all of these species, or all the animal life, at least on Earth, that came into existence about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, he asked the question, was there some cataclysmic event 200,000 years ago that nearly wiped the slate clean? Well, if we're looking for a cataclysmic event, of course, we know that Noah's flood, it wasn't Noah's flood, but God caused the flood. But that was definitely a cataclysmic event on Earth. But we do also know that, you know, there was at least a pair of every kind of animal, not necessarily every species, because we tend to talk about species loosely as opposed to the kind of animal. Just because, you know, a dog has a different color, we call it a different species sometimes. So it's just, you know, it's just a different colored animal, a different colored dog. But be that as it may, you know, we have... we know that there was a cataclysmic event on Earth, which reshaped all of the Earth, and with the flood waters coming from the heavens and from the deep, and covering all of the Earth. And there were only 8 humans that remained after the flood, and mostly only a pair of animals that obviously survived the flood, because they were also on the ark, as the history book tells us. And so it's not surprising to, obviously, a creationist that they would have such a finding. But, of course, it pretty much shatters the evolutionary theory that things appeared on this Earth at different times, and this one species evolved into the other species over time. The other thing that their study did was show that there were no, the missing links are even further missing. I mean, there is such definition between the different kinds of animals and humans to suggest that there was no evolution between the kinds of animals. So, which again, you know, corroborates the Bible, the Bible's historic record, versus what man has been thinking, you know, since pre-Darwin times. And so we have a gigantic win, if you will, for the biblical record, the Genesis record, and a gigantic loss for the evolutionary story and the evolutionary concept that things evolved over a period of time.
Now this article has hints at another earth-shaking reality too. And now the purpose of the article is to demonstrate that this research shatters the notion of settled science. And it says that science is always changing, always being updated. I mean, you take your present state of knowledge and new things are coming up, and you have to be willing to change the earlier assumptions if you're going to stay accurate in your scientific work, and that is truly scientific. But we've talked about this other idea for some time, and you talked about the date of the flood and the evolutionist's idea of the date of creation and so forth. But they mention in this study that there's a rate of change in DNA, mutation from generation to generation to generation, and that science is now able to calculate how far back you have to go to get the DNA into its original state again. That is by, if you will, subtracting the mutations generation by generation by generation. And that's another significant effect of this DNA research, that maybe will be, that's like the other foot has yet to fall. If we know that the animals and human beings were created at the same time, now we need to establish that time. This DNA research helps establish that, doesn't it?
Well, you get a much more broader sampling, if you will. The folks at the Institute of Creation Research did that very study and showed that by looking at the mutation rates of several different species, including man, they all point to a very young creation, at least of the animals, in the order of, as I said before, 6 to 10,000 years, not the 100 to 200,000 years that this study is purported to, coming up with that particular number. So that's not necessarily new information. It's just that we have a much broader sampling, if you will, of the data to look at even further, which I hope somebody actually completes that study and says, hey, you know what, it's not 100,000 years, it's more like 10,000, we better not publish this. Mm-hmm. Because then we really have problems. Now, of course, evolution demands that we have deep time. That is that, we can't have evolution if we have a short time period. And 100,000 years is a very short time period on the evolutionary time scale. So we've already got a major problem. And if they complete the study with all the data that they have that you're suggesting, that would even lower, I'm pretty sure it's going to lower the time frame even more, and blow evolutionary thinking out of the water.
Which again puts the lie to the notion of settled science. It's a myth.
Well, yes, it is. In this type of research, it is definitely a myth. And if you, as I said at the beginning, if you even thinking about it, and we have instruments that can detect things at a certain level. Well, 10, 20, 50 years from now, the rate of our ability to create better and better instruments, that in itself gives you more data. And it's like going from Newtonian physics to quantum mechanics. Mm-hmm. Once we got some pictures of the inner workings of the atom, for example, and of the universe, both the special relativity, Einstein's special relativity, and then his general theory of relativity, it started with the foundation of Newtonian physics, and then said, well, what if things change at a very small level? Then this type of math, comes out. Then we have different conclusions with respect to gravity and time and on the molecular level, of course, Niels Bohr and Einstein were contemporaries, and they had this ongoing battle of, Einstein says, well, God doesn't, play games. He doesn't roll the dice. And, of course, the, quantum mechanics is more of a statistical model, and so I don't think they ever settled that particular argument. But
so how does this maybe change this notion of evolution? There's a progression from postulated results to hypothesis to theory to law, and we've been taught to think of evolution as theory, although they don't use that word much anymore. I mean, they're kind of saying, well, it's settled science, so it's law, but might it be more accurate to say this is a hypothesis, evolution is, and not even to the point of being a theory?
Oh, it's not a theory. I mean, the theory states you have to test it, and it has to be proven over and over again. It's very much just a guess as to how things started, and we can obviously see that Darwinian evolution, that is the slow migration from one species to the next, cannot possibly have taken place based on the results of this study. But this is just one example, but based on the results of other studies as well. So then you get new hypothesis saying, well, we had punctuated evolution. That is, if you look at the geological record, it shows that, these species just kind of exploded at this time point. This study even blows that out of the water because it says that, you know, most of the species that we see on Earth today have come together at the same time. This type of science in particular keeps changing if you're willing to examine, the data with an open mind. You can come to the ultimately to the correct conclusion, and that is that not only did all of the species, all of the animals and kinds of living things that we see here on Earth come together at the same time, that indeed they had to be created by a special loving creator.
And to my mind, that puts evolution more in the category of a faith system, perhaps with the origin of the species as its gospel, and makes it a really recent development, kind of disregarding the core understanding of man and his own existence that accumulated before that time. Dr. Don Clark is a biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments. I want to mention their website to you. It's creationmoments.com. And there you'll find a wealth of knowledge, scientific information that supports the biblical creation story. You might want to visit them, creationmoments.com. You can link to them from the Broken Road Radio site. By the way, at the Broken Road site right now in the chat window is a link to the article we were discussing this morning from the Western Journal, from westernjournal.com. So, Don, we'll look forward to next Tuesday with you. Have a good week, and we'll see you then. Thank you.
All righty. You too. Stay cool.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Don.
Hello.